girl, I knew that I would not. I feel good, I knew that I would not. So good, so good, I got a year. Nice. The sugar runs by. I feel nice. The sugar runs by. So nice, so nice. I got you.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Mel and Floyd, the summer replacement show. Mel is somewhere. Floyd is on assignment. With us, as always, is a man who knows everything, and I'm Ruby.
And how'd that go? Mr. Smarty Pants. Oh,
yeah, you're just the man who knows everything. Yeah. Sorry.
So I do know where Mel is, too. He's in Kansas City.
Ooh.
Yeah, everything's up to date in Kansas City. I don't know if you know that. You even have a moving picture show.
Wow.
I've heard they have a skyscraper 7 stories high. They've gone about as far as they can go. Yes, sir. They've gone about as far as they can go. Hey, I want to thank all the people that pledged last week.
Yeah.
Especially one person who, I mean, all the pledges were really valuable, but one person constituted 50% and a very large 50% of all the pledges we got. And I want to thank that person in particular. I was a little worried they might have injured themselves in some way, like, you know, slipped and knocked their head on something or something like that. But it was really sweet. And so we managed to exceed our goal, which means that our coordinator for these pledge drives, She Who Must Be Obeyed, will not be whipping us this time. So that's really good.
Yeah, we had everyone was incredibly generous, but we had one in particular very generous donor right at the end of the show last week.
Ludicrously generous. And the other thing I just want to say is, Ruby, after listening to the program we just listened to, you do feel a little bit like an a-hole coming on and trying to be funny, but, you know, I got to say, one of the things that we do hear from people a lot, and we appreciate this, and I hope that's what we're trying to do here, is there's so much stuff that if you're a serious person, really can get you down. And so what we try to do is maybe leaven that a little bit with a little of the, I don't know,
the tee-hees, the giggles.
The tee-hees. Yeah, I know. It's hard to have a tee-hee and not feel like you're somehow being unfair to things, but we got to live in the world too. So.
And just one thing I want to mention before we, you know, get into our news items for the week. We did fall short. You know, Mel and Floyd did great with our fundraising, reached our goal, surpassed our goal. But overall, the station did fall a little bit short on our goal for the fall. And that's okay, because we have a couple folks who are generously willing to match any donations that come this week. So we're tail end of the week. Your donations will be matched up until the 22nd. So if you make a donation today for $50, it counts for $100. So, yeah, good time to
I
be.
I heard somebody pledged during Esty show. So
yeah, we had 3 people donate during Esty show. So WORTFM.org. We don't have phone answers, but we will take your money online.
Yeah, so go to WORTFM.org, and there's a big button there you can press, and you know, I'm sure you're giving money to your favorite candidates and things like that, but they don't need it right now. They're doing fine. Don't worry about that. But on the other hand, we do need it. And definitely. And there's no doubt about it. So pony up the dough. That's what we say.
Pony up the dough. How have you been? I haven't asked you how you were. I've seen you in the studio for
Aren't
a couple
you sweet?
Of minutes.
But well, you know what? I got to tell you, I was a little sleepy. And I was just kind of like, I came in and I was like, oh, golly. But you know what? I have the wake-up juice here in my hand. It's made from beans. I don't know if you've ever had any of it, but it's working wonders with me right now. So, yeah, they need a little wake-up juice.
A little wake-up juice made with beans.
Freshly brewed here at the station. So.
It's one of the best things about WORT, in my opinion, is the fresh coffee constantly.
Yeah, and our phone answer out front there, she was so receptionist.
Lainey.
She's so sweet, and she came in. And I said thank you. That was very sweet of you. And her response was, I think she didn't want to accept a compliment. She said she was restless. So, which I get. She just wanted to keep busy. So anyway, well, how have you been? We just kind of, you know, ships passing in the night. I mean, what have you been up to recently?
What have I been up to recently? I am just living my life, making it through September somehow. And yeah, I've got tickets to go see a show at the American Players Theater tonight.
Oh, lovely.
So I'm looking forward to
what
that.
What is playing at the American Players Theater? Let's do a little promotion there.
It's called, well, I don't know that you can buy tickets. It's the last night of
Let's talk about
show.
It then.
Yeah, and we're not supposed to do promotions on the radio. But the show is called The Ring Around the Moon, and I don't know anything about it. I'm just along for the ride.
Yeah. Really good washing will take that out.
Yeah.
A little extra stain remover on the collar. Yeah, that's a problem you have sometimes. Yeah, okay, well, what am I doing? I don't know what I'm doing. I guess we're going to... I know one thing. So let me just pull this out. So we got a little message. Are we allowed to talk about this?
Yes, we are. It was announced yesterday.
Yeah, we got a little message from the Best of Madison, Madison Magazine's Best of Madison 2024. And they sent you and me and Mel and God knows who else.
Floyd.
This little message that says, come pop in to pick up your complimentary Best of Madison award certificate. So Mel and Floyd, you know, we used to win awards through the Isthmus polling. And when we moved to the Best of Madison, we thought, well, maybe that isn't quite our demographic, but apparently we're moving up in that one too. So I don't know where we are right now, whether
we can announce where we placed.
Oh, can we?
Yeah, yeah.
So are we number two?
We are number two.
Oh my goodness, yeah. We are.
Yeah. So we got second place behind Jonathan and Kitty.
You know, Jonathan, Kitty, I ran into Kitty one time at the Willie Street Fair. And she said, there was a streak where we were beating them.
Uh-huh.
And she said, can't you guys let us win? So we're doing that, Kitty. I told her at the time, we're trying to be as bad as we can. And for some reason, people still like us. I don't understand. But good. I'm glad they did. And he said, completely unrealistically. right. Do we? But anyway, so I'm going to pop by there and I'm going to get apparently there's a little pop-up kiosk. Located there, and I'm going to go grab that, and then we're going to go see that gal that's running for the Democratic nomination. She's going to be at some place. We're going to go see what she's up to.
Yeah,
heard she's pretty good at debates at any rate. So yeah. I don't know what else.
That's exciting.
Yeah, that'll be fun. We'll be one of 50 million. We should probably get up and leave early just to.
Yeah.
She's probably going to start talking about windmills or something. That seems to be what they do, those candidates. I don't know.
I'm excited to hear your report next week and how it went. I feel like you might be staying around for a while, have an exciting, 45 minutes, and then...
Yeah. Well, I'm bad for, shaking hands with politicians. They're probably going to... Secret Service probably have to gun me down because I just am I'm like a hand-seeking missile, you know? And I've shaken hands with some of the top ones.
Yeah,
you know?
Who have you shaken hands with?
Well, I shook hands with both Bill Clinton and Al Gore.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm an old guy, right?
Sure,
so
yeah.
I was around when they were running for office. Mm-hmm. And I loved it at the time because the handshakes were so... palpably different. Like Clinton had this big flabby hand,
okay.
And he kind of enclosed. I've kind of skinny hands. So he kind of enclosed my hand, and I could feel him sucking the love out of my body. You know? Hey, buddy, how's it going? You know, kind of thing. Right? And then right after him was Al Gore. Of course, he was running for vice president, mm-hmm. And he would do this thing where he would just stick out his fingers, like two fingers, and just kind of half shake your hand and look over your head. And I thought, that guy's going nowhere. It was. I actually, a roommate that I had at the time, and I actually went to the, back in the day, to the Clinton inauguration, because mm-hmm. at that time, there had not been a Democratic president for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Clinton was the most conservative Democrat since Grover Cleveland, right? but still, it wasn't a Republican, you know? So I went with my roommate at the time, and he went to be with his friends who were protesting the inauguration. And I just went and thought, well, great, we don't have a Republican. So that was my attitude at the time, you know. So, but at any rate, yeah, so that was kind of fun. You can, if you contact your congressperson, which I guess for most of our listeners would be Mark Pocan, they do have, you can get tickets. I mean, you can't get close, but you can get a little spot that's relatively close. So they apparently have a number of tickets. I don't know if he's giving them out right now, and I don't want to create problems for Mark Pocan's office, but they do have that ability.
I think there's many ways to get to get tickets for this event, one of the volunteers here at WART was saying that she put her and her wife on like three different lists.
Yeah.
Like any way that she was able to get an invite to the event.
By the way, Companion and I are going to be in Washington, D.C. during the inauguration. So whoever it ends up being, you know, whether it's going to be His Majesty or whether it's going to be, you know, going to be Kamala, we'll be there it's going to be wild. Whatever happens, right? You know, like if it turns out that he's in charge, then I'm going to be there probably doing something else. Yeah. And
are you going for something different? Like,
and we're just going to overlap with it. Yeah. 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 So
well,
I know.
That's going to be interesting. Remind me to send you with a recorder either way.
I was there one year during the Million Family March. I remember that many years ago now. And it was so funny. I just thought I'd wander over to see what was going on. Yeah. It was one of my favorite stories is I was going to the street corner and there was a guy next to me. He's really large man. And he was obviously one of the Fruit of Islam guys because he was wearing the suit and the little red tie, little bow tie, you know, because the Nation of Islam had organized the group, you know, the black Muslims had organized this Million Family March. And he had a little mini-me version. His little son, he was so adorable. Aww. And they were saying they're both wearing their little suits with their little bow ties. And little mini-me, Fruit of Islam kid, started to walk out into the intersection before the light changed. And the dad looked down at him and said, "No, now you have to wait for the little white guy," meaning the guy on the thing. And the kid turned around and honestly looked up at me. It's like, I know it's a crazy world, but I didn't realize I got to wait for him to cross before I can go. It was just like this puzzled look. I just remember, I was like one of three white people at this thing. But he just like looked at me like, "Oh, that's the way it works." And I was like, "This is too funny."
I maybe it's more of like a, let's cloak ourselves in this guy's white privilege. Like, the cars aren't going to hit him.
Yeah.
So once he starts walking.
The kid might have figured that out. I mean, he looked like he was about 4 or 5, but, you know, he's probably already figuring it out. You know?
Right.
But of course, the dad met the little guy on the sign. Yeah. You know, he just looked at me. Any rate. So, yeah, we'll be there. And as a former president once said, it'll be wild, whatever happens. So, but today, so that's happening from, what is it? I guess this afternoon, Kamala and her crew will be there. And you probably heard that she got, I don't know what I make of this. I mean, some people think it's great. You know, it shows you her wide appeal or whatever. But I get a little little unnerved when 111 stalwarts of the GOP saying they're going to vote for her. Like, really? I don't know if that's exactly a character, endorsement there.
She was just, Oprah has endorsed her. And she was just
The All Wise Oprah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, has done did an event with Oprah, I think, over this last week. Which
You know, during COVID, when they tell you to wash your hands, you sing Happy Birthday twice. Did you know that?
Yeah, what did you sing?
I always sing Happy Birthday, Dear Oprah. And I was explaining that to somebody, and they said, "Do you have to say Oprah when you say it?" And I was like, "Yeah, you do. You have to say Happy Birthday, dear Oprah. Happy Birthday to you." So that's how I've incorporated Oprah into my life.
That's great. Yeah. It's just always her birthday.
It's always her birthday. Every day is Oprah's birthday. That's right.
Several times a day.
Exactly.
The Wisconsin Appeals Court has taken up the case of RFK Jr. The ballot. And this is, comes right before absentee ballots get mailed out. So,
He really wants to get off the ballot.
He really wants to.
They figured out that he's going to take from Trump.
You think so?
You think so? I'm sorry, my irony. I have an irony deficiency today. I got to take my tablets, I guess.
I mean, I can understand, having now that he's backed Trump, why he would want to be off the ballot. But also, I think like having more than two candidates on the ballot is kind of important,
Yeah, well, it's Wisconsin who probably get the bear eater vote.
Yeah.
The all-important Forest County barrier vote, so,
That goes right into a really good story I have this week.
Really?
It's
like we planned it.
A 12-year-old boy fatally shot a black bear who was mauling his father during they were hunting bears.
Oh, okay.
In western Wisconsin. So they had, they were hunting bears and they had shot but not killed a bear. And about 20 minutes later, they came across the bear again, and the bear charged the father, and then the son shot him. And I said, this is why we don't shoot bears.
Yeah, well, you've probably seen that. The bumper sticker, support the right to arm bears. And that's the very reason right there. It would be a fair fight then. Yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, come on. Yeah. Any rate. There was an editorial in the New York Times today from the governor of Ohio. He was talking, Republican, but governor of Ohio. And he was talking about, you know, how great the people who live in Springfield, Ohio, are.
Yes.
And how valuable they are to the economy, and how, you know, a well-regulated, friendly people, and they're here legally and everything. And the thing that got me about it was he made it very clear that he was still voting for the Republican candidate for president after all of that, even though it just floored me when I was reading, of course, some of the things that they've said, one lie on top of another. But yeah, they're still amplifying these stories. And, of course, the giant orange one has said he's going to go to Springfield. That will be fun. But Governor DeWine, he's a Republican, but he's not a MAGA Republican. He said that these rumors that were spread online, of course, were all false, and he knows from personal experience. Interestingly enough, he and his wife are actually from Springfield, Ohio, originally.
Wow.
So, yeah.
You know, after that whole thing, there's been a string of bomb threats to schools and public buildings, and NPR has a headline from yesterday, saying that some Haitians are considering leaving.
Yeah, great job, everybody.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah. Well, also, of course, in addition to the crazy stuff that former President Trump is saying about the folks in Springfield, he's also been escalating his calls to investigate and prosecute election officials that are corrupt. He says if he wins, he's going to look into all these people that stood in the way, apparently, of his greatness. And democracy experts are really worried because he's talking about ordering his Justice Department to basically go after who knows. I mean, it could be very small people. I mean, this is the thing. This is the problem in a purported democratic republic. You've got huge differences in wealth and so on. The reason why that's a problem is because they can exhaust the court systems forever by pulling in, you know, Musk's money or whoever it is, you know.
Appeal after appeal.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, yeah, he's thinking already that we're going to be doing that if he gets elected. This is, you know, typical of unfortunately, other struggling nations, but it's something that hasn't been quite so overt in this country, and we're sort of struggling here now again between the shadow between democracy and authoritarianism. But whatever. Half the people still think he's great, so what do you do with that?
Hey, we got a online pledge.
Excellent.
Which, as I will remind everyone, is getting doubled today, and it's from our friend Chris, who says, good news, no urine in this lab. Bad news.
I can report that the studio is urine-free for a change, too, so that's really good.
Bad news, no ether, and the lab is in Waukesha. I have a flaming bag of poo and looking for Scotty's porch. I shook the hand of Bill, Al, and Ada, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never met Ada. Yeah. I remember the year she was running. Ada Deer, I assume he's referring to.
I think so.
Yeah, I remember the year she was running. Was that 92? Yeah, it must have been 92.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Ada Deer. We lost her this year, I think.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yep. Yep. Oh. So I don't know. Human beings don't like unresolved things. You know, I mean, that's why you constantly see these polls. You can't just say, well, let's wait and see what happens in 7 weeks or whatever. That's impossible.
I want to know who's going to win right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
They've done studies where people, like, if they're given a choice of having to wait for a while or, like, shock themselves in a laboratory experiment, they will just shock themselves. You know, like, I can't wait another 5 minutes. You know? So, I kind of feel like I'm not exactly in that. I just, again, I try to distract myself with other things that seem important. There's a new analysis of the origin of COVID-19 that's being done by scientists in Britain. Did you hear about this? It was the story was published in the Thursday edition of the journal Cell.
Mm.
I know that you you subscribe to that regularly.
I do.
So yeah. And it looked at 800 samples of genetic material from Chinese workers collected on January 1st, 2020 from the Hunan seafood market. And again, they're pretty sure that this is coming from animals. Scientists suspect infected animals are first brought to the Wuhan market in late November of 2019. And they're still trying to figure out sort of which guys it is. Is it a raccoon dog? Is it a civet cat? Is it a bamboo rat? I like how they can't just be dogs, cats, and rats. They're raccoon dogs and civet cats. This is the fancy version, folks. And the bamboo rats. I love the idea of bamboo rats. I really do. So they're looking into this, that they found subpopulations of animals which have some probability of transmitting the coronavirus to humans. So not some giant conspiracy. I'm sorry. I know we all love the giant conspiracies.
The lab conspiracy and such.
Yep.
I think raccoon dog, that just sounds good to me.
I like that too. I wonder what I should look those up. I wonder if you can buy one of those. Not to eat.
I want
the non-edible ones, please. Thank you very much.
They're cute.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
I highly recommend looking
at them. They're adorable. Look at those things. All right.
Raccoon
and
dog.
And delicious looking.
They kind of look like a badger, honestly, but fluffier and friendlier.
Yeah. Well, anything's friendlier than a badger.
Oh, that's true. Badgers
are.
Go Badgers. Lux and I just watched, there's a show called Ape Crazy on HBO, and long story short, owning apes is probably a bad idea.
Oh yeah. Do you know, I was reading a book about Soviet space dogs. And your answer is, of course you were.
Yeah, obviously.
And they tried to use monkeys. Americans used monkeys.
Sure.
And the Russians were much smarter because they were sort of like, monkeys are too much like people. They're fidgety. They were constantly pulling the little things off of them that they were like to monitor their signs and so on. And so they said, no, we're not going to do that. Dogs are the way to go. And they did lose one of the dogs. Of course, they lost Laika. But after that, they were like heroes. And when they came back, because they wanted to see that they could bring them back, too. That's if you're going to send humans up, you'd like them to be able to come back.
Ideally,
depends on who it is. But they gave the dogs medals. You know, they were like heroes of socialist labor or something like that. And then they would make like stamps and all these different things. And so I was out in California a few years ago, and there was a hallway in a museum of oil paintings of the various Soviet space dogs. They were amazing. It was really great. But don't use monkeys. You don't want to use monkeys too much like people, and that's always a bad idea.
Yeah, the show is called Chimp Crazy, not Ape Crazy.
Oh, Chimp Crazy.
Chimp Crazy. Okay. They're really cute. Like, they're cute until you start thinking about how much alike we are to them, and it's not cool to keep them in a cage.
Yeah.
And not safe to not. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually when I go to the zoo, like I was at the Brookfield Zoo one time, and my general rule is stay away from the cages where the animal is masturbating. So usually not looking at the monkeys. Sorry.
But if you're,
that's just me.
If you're a primate in a cage, what are you going to be doing?
No, I get it. I get it. But that's exactly why I don't want to see it. That's the thing. Anything that can be... See, this is my thing about zoos. Anything that can be bored... Don't put it in a zoo.
You know?
Because there's some things that they just don't get bored, you know. That's not within their range. But other things they do get bored. And don't put those things in cages.
There's a pygmy hippopotamus in Thailand, in a Thailand zoo that's going viral right now.
Those things are adorable.
Yeah, that's really it. It's like there's a cute hippo, or pygmy hippo in.
And when they say pygmy hippo, they means full size. It's 1,000 pounds, right?
they do seem smaller.
Are they?
Like maybe like more pig size.
Yeah.
But it's caused so much of a disturbance that there are like thousands of people coming every day to see this pygmy hippo. Her name is Mudang.
Yeah.
And people are, you know, like taking pictures.
They want to get these pictures
of her. But she like is only active for like 20 minutes a day, and then she just sleeps the rest of the day. So they've had to put up signs. They're like, don't splash her. Don't throw sticks at her. Like, let her sleep. Take a picture of her.
Now who are the annoying monkeys, right?
Exactly. Ooh. I think
I told you that I have these friends that do seal rescue in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing that they do. The seal rescue things, they're these monk seals, and they need to come up on the shore to sleep. They're, unlike some sea mammals, they're not able to kind of like turn off half the brain at a time or something. They didn't quite get to that level evolutionarily, so they actually have to come up and sleep on the shore. And just like with us, if we don't get enough sleep, they're all kind of fritzy and weird, right? So the biggest problem they have is people. Coming up and like, hey, look at that. Poke, poke, poke. It's like, can you clever little hairless ape, like, keep your paws to yourself? So we've seen some of the most amazing things. I went out with one of my friends to do this. And so there's a whole team of people, mostly retired people who have the time to do this. And they will call in and say, oh, there's a sighting on, you know, such and such beach. And then you go over there and then you stake out a little place around it so that no people won't get close.
A little playpen,
little stakes in the ground and the sand and little ropes. And people will do the most bizarre things. So like walking over it and then you're like, hey, did you see the rope? It's like, no. Like, how did you get over it then? Like, wide steps. The funniest one was the woman that said, that my friend Charlie says to her, it's like, hey, really, you should let the, you know, they're being nice. It's public education. So you should really let the seal sleep. And the woman said, the seal said it was okay. And we're like, no, we talked to the seal and just, it said you're a total liar. You know? I mean, what do you say to somebody who says, oh, the seal said it was okay?
You know, I have such a internal desire to like hug a seal, but then fear of authority. That I get it. Like that's what you gotta do. You gotta
respect the thing. It's like kids. You know, like the worst thing you can do to a kid is treat it like just a big doll.
Yeah.
You know, kids hate that. I mean, they really do. It's like, hey, come, you know, kiss grandma. And it's like, let me decide if I'm gonna kiss grandma. Okay. You know? So I think if we're gonna do that with kids, we should do it with seals. I did say to my one friend, I said, you know, this should be about loving the seals, not hating the humans. And his response was, I can do both at once.
It's really so fair.
Hey, the White House, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation in particular, is looking into bank mergers. The Biden administration and its final months are trying to make sure they get a lot of done before, you know, God knows what's going to happen next. So they're increasing antitrust scrutiny of the banking industry. And so on Tuesday, the board of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation voted 3-2. That's right now there's a majority of Democrats on there for putting more stringent guidelines in place for evaluating bank deals. So also on Tuesday, the Justice Department withdrew from a framework which was established way back under Clinton. Remember him, most conservative Democrat since Grover Cleveland?
We were just talking about him.
Yeah, just talking about him. Which were a little too loose. And so the Assistant Attorney General, who's in charge of these things, a person by the name of Jonathan Cantor, said that the 95 rules, which predate the rise of financial technology, need modernizing. So they're going to modernize some of the rules. They're going to be on the lookout for unsavory and monopolistic mergers. So
I think that's a good idea. Every 30 years, relook at your rules.
Yeah, I know. In the meantime, the financial carnage that's been created. Well,
yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Little of this, little of that.
Hey, we've got a couple people who went online and had their donations doubled. So shout out to Eric, who's a new donor, and Jonathan.
Wow, that's great.
I know.
Did they mention anything about themselves?
Well, Eric got a long sleeve shirt and the I Hear Voices shirt. Made 100. Oh, I shouldn't say that
no,
amount.
No, don't
that's,
say the amount.
But that's the amount that you have to donate to get the shirt. So.
Yeah, it's that amount.
It's that amount.
Whatever. Go online and find out for yourself.
Likes Mel and Floyd as his number one show. And then Jonathan went online and got the Road Trip Cooler and likes Her Infinite Variety, Blues Cruise, and Back to the Country. Again, excellent. all those donations get doubled this week, just until the 22nd.
And remember, feel free, if you're pledging to the station, you can pledge during this show. It doesn't mean you like the show necessarily. You don't even have to put that in there. But because the money all goes to the same place.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's not like, and you know, we don't get any great glory one way or the other, given the amount. So, I mean, if you, you know, if you want to pledge, you happen to be listening right now. I still remember the first time I pledged. I was listening to WRT. It was 2 a.m. I was counting the money at the restaurant. I was the night manager. Mm-hmm. I was counting the money at the restaurant, and there were some guys, and they're playing some really good ska music, and I was just listening and counting the money, and they said, "Hey, nobody's listening, but you are." And I thought, "Yeah, I am." So I pledged at 2 a.m, and it was good music, and I was enjoying it, and nobody else was pledging, so. You know, if you just happen to be listening, sitting there listening, and maybe you've never heard Mel and Floyd before and never want to again, but you know, you can still pledge to WRT.
It's cool because we're not Mel and Floyd. We're Ruby and Pants. So. Yeah,
that's good. That's a good point.
Yeah, we can do whatever we want.
Yeah, that's right. Screw those guys.
I know. I think it's funny that we announced the best radio duo, and it's not Mel or Floyd today.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the backups.
Hey, you'll be probably unhappy to hear this, but the company that built the Titanic finally announced bankruptcy.
Aww.
That's true. Harlan and Wolff, it's the British holding company that built the Titanic, the ship that went down over 100 years
ago. The
unsinkable ship that sank. It took a long time going through the court system, but the bankruptcy proceedings are fine. No, they had been doing pretty well for quite a while. In Britain, you know, the companies last longer than they do in the United States. They're not quite as cutthroat as our great American hyper-capitalism. So they had managed to exist as a company for many years after the fiasco associated with the RMS Titanic, and done pretty well. But the shipbuilding company, which is 163 years old, and sited in Belfast in Ireland, of course. They had been doing relatively well, but of course new technology and larger funding needs had made things problematic for them. So they got in over their heads and slowly started to go down deck by deck. and finally they sank under the waves.
So. Hey, that's pretty good. Hey, we got to take a quick break and play some announcements, but I just wanted to thank our Mindless Minion D-Cube to make sure that those of you who are listening to the show in the future are able to hear it. He does all our file management, gets the show up on the website and on all your favorite podcast feeds. So thank you, Mindless Minion D-Cubed.
You bet.
Got anything good coming up in the second half?
Nope, not a thing.
I got a story about these really cool gulls who are kind of like pirates.
What are they?
Gulls? Birds?
Yeah.
You know, like seagulls?
Oh, gulls, yeah. Oh, wow. Pirate gulls.
Pirate gulls.
That sounds very good.
Yeah, right?
I'm going to stay around just to listen to that.
All right, we'll be right back.
Support for this program comes from WORT's listener sponsors and Isthmus Newspaper. Isthmus is back on newsstands the first Thursday of every month, and now a nonprofit. Isthmus continues to expand its independent coverage of local government, the arts, and all things Madison at isthmus.com.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and the Wine and Hop Shop, located at 1919 Monroe Street, specializing in home brewing and winemaking supplies for over 40 years. Open to in-person shopping or order online for curbside pickup, in-Madison delivery and shipping of supplies at wineandhop.com.
The Rainbow Project presents Rumba for Rainbow, a benefit that works to raise awareness for child abuse and domestic violence. This event takes place Friday, September 20th at 7 p.m. at the Monona Terrace Exhibition Hall. It will feature a night of music, salsa dancing, an awards presentation, a silent auction, and more. It will also include 4 live performances and a celebrity dance challenge. For more information, go to therainbowproject.net/rumba, R-H-U-M-B-A. That's the Rainbow Project's Rumba for Rainbow on Friday, September 20th. Keeping you informed of community events, this is WORT 89.9 FM Madison and WORTFM.org.
The Wild Rumpus Circus welcomes back the iconic political theater company Bread and Puppet to Mazomani for a two-pronged theater attack. The traveling troupe present their newest show, The Beginning After the End of Humanity Circus, at 4:30 p.m. on Saturday, September 21st, in the downtown Mazomani Performing Arts Pavilion. Bread and Puppet are also offering a theater workshop on Friday, September 20th, from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Rumpus Room, also in downtown Mazo. Workshop participants have the option of performing with Bread and Puppet the following day at their outdoor performance. Founded in 1963 by Peter Schumann in New York City, Bread and Puppet Theater is one of the oldest nonprofit, self-supporting theatrical companies in the country. For more information and to sign up for the theater workshop, go to therumpusroom.org. Wild Rumpus Circus welcomes Bread and Puppet back to Mazomani on September 21st in the downtown Mazomani Performing Arts Pavilion. Bringing you diversity and performance, this is WORT 89.9 FM Madison.
And we're back.
So I have a little reproductive rights roundup here.
Ooh, do we have them back?
Little things are happening all over the country because now, of course, it's down at the state level, a lot of this stuff. And you may have heard, but I just want to remind everybody that the Missouri Supreme Court rejected a bid to strike a question on the November ballot. So there's a question on the ballot in November in the state of Missouri that will ask voters whether or not they want to establish a right to abortion in the state constitution. And there was an attempt basically to get that off the ballot. So, of course, because you don't want people voting on things. But the seven-member court handed down a one-page ruling less than 3 hours before the state's deadline for printing ballots. So this is like, this would make a great movie, right? You can see them all rushing into the chamber and people nervously wiping their brows and so on. The ruling capped off several days of legal maneuvering as anti-abortion groups and, of course, the state Republicans made a last-ditch effort to stop the ballot amendment. So don't give the people what they want, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, it's like, okay, if you are taking it off the ballot, you know which way it's going to go, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the Supreme Court of Missouri said, no, you can't do that. It's on the ballot. Also, in North Dakota, another surprise again, the North Dakota judge overturned the state's near total abortion ban on Thursday, saying that the state's constitution protected a woman's right to choose abortion until the fetus was viable. And of course, this has been appealed by the attorney general of the state, a person by the name of Drew Wrigley, who's a Republican. But what it means is that until the appeal goes through, the judge's order allows abortion to be legal in North Dakota. Of course, there's only one. Well, I don't think there's any, actually. I don't think there are any abortion clinics left in the state. That's right, because the one that was there moved to Minnesota. But still on the point of the legality of it, at least temporarily, it's in place there. I also want to mention that the new Labour government of Great Britain has changed their rules with respect to abortion clinics, which, of course, are available in the United Kingdom. They have new measures that prohibit protests within 150 meters, that's about 500 feet, of clinics or hospitals that offer abortion services, and also make it illegal to hand out anti-abortion leaflets in that buffer zone.
Wow.
So basically, England and Wales allow abortion to be permitted up to 24 weeks of pregnancy, and there are what they consider to be safeguards. It must be approved by two doctors, and of course has to be carried out under their National Health Service. But considering the alternative here in the U.S., that sounds pretty good.
How big is the buffer zone again?
500 feet.
Okay.
It's not great.
Yes, I mean it's great. It's not very 500 feet's not that much feet.
Yeah, but it's still better than the alternatives.
Yeah, absolutely. I was telling you about these pirate gulls. birders are flocking to Wisconsin Point in Superior for the annual Jaeger Fest.
Jägerfest.
Jägerfest.
Yep, yep.
Okay.
Yeah. It's German. There's no reason why you should know that.
I mean,
please.
I will say I was trying to look up a pronouncer for Jäger, but I instead watched a lot of videos of these.
Jäger
birds.
Just means hunter in German. That's
okay.
What it means, yeah.
Anyway, these are parasitic Jägers, or also known as Arctic skuas in Europe, and they are gulls that like attack other birds.
Oh yeah.
And get them to like give up whatever they have just swallowed. So essentially they're like going after seagulls, like fly after seagulls. They're doing this mostly in the air.
Yeah.
And like just like hit them over and over until the seagull drops whatever they ate. And
Lovely.
Yeah. Apparently there's thousands of them that go to this area in Superior every year, and this is the weekend, so.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. You know, when we were in Finland a few years ago, the gulls there in Helsinki, they will basically they'll just take the food right out of your hand.
Yeah.
You're just eating the sandwich and they just come swooping right down. And it was kind of sad because I saw a situation happened in a park where there were so many gulls clustered around people's feet. There was a bicyclist that was going through and he couldn't swerve in time and he accidentally hit one of the things and I think it may have broke it or injured its wing and not a person looked up. I was like, oh no, what happened with the gull? And they're all like, what a rube, you know. The rats of the air.
You know, I'll have to look up and see if I can find which podcast this is, but I was just listening to a podcast. Maybe it was on Radio Lab. I'm not sure. I'll look it up. That was saying that, you know, seagulls are they're declining in population. And they're a type of animal that, you know, is incredibly adaptable and they shouldn't be decreasing in population, right? Yeah. If something's decreasing in population with the gulls, it's not that like one of their food sources is going down. It's that like something more drastic is happening.
Yeah.
And so with this population, you're seeing it decline, and you're also seeing more of the like shy, quiet, more like the less urban gulls are declining also. So you're getting the gulls that are like involved with people and are really seen as the, you know, rats of the sky.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Seagulls.
Could be they're eating too much human food. I remember they did a study many years ago down at the Memorial Union of the ducks, because the ducks that are along there, along the shoreline, and they all had like high blood pressure. They were like, you know, pre-diabetic and things like that. Because people give them like potato chips and things. It's like, you know, don't give the duck a lot of salt. It's just not a good idea. Hey, going on to another topic here that's related a little bit. New research. This is, you know, pregnancy is not an easy thing, and it really isn't. And a new study that was published in Nature Neuroscience on Monday adds to this picture by documenting MRI brain changes. They using MRIs to look at brain changes in one woman's pregnancy. They did 26 brain scans with this individual, four before a pregnancy, 15 during, and 7 afterwards. And they found some pretty dramatic and a little unnerving things as a result. Although the subject was unaware of any symptoms or changes that affected the brain, well, how would you tell? You know, you're doing it from your own inside, right? It's like, I think I'm paying attention. Okay. Who's paying attention or whether you're paying attention? She exhibited profound differences. By the 9th week of gestation, 80% of 400 brain areas showed decreases in gray matter volume and cortical thickness. In other words, the brain was pruning itself in various ways, making itself somewhat simpler. Some areas shrank by as much as 4% as a result of this pregnancy. The senior author of the study, a woman by the name of Emily Jacobs, who's a neuroscientist at UC Santa Barbara, said that pregnancy brain shrinkage may not be a bad thing because it enables the brain to become more focused. Yeah, right. Nice save. But I mean, but this is, she's right about one thing. This often happens in puberty as well, infancy. You're all over the map with everything, and then you're kind of like certain things. You're not using those avenues anymore, and so there's no reason in having them around. But the volume loss persisted 2 years postpartum, suggesting that pregnancy hormones actually prompt permanent etchings in the brain. So the brain changes. And that change stays around for a couple years after delivery. So,
man, I feel like I don't think I can afford. I don't have that much brain power to lose.
Yeah. That's a lot. This peanut I got up here is never going to survive.
Yeah. I do like the excuse, right? I do like the sorry, pregnancy brain. You know, that seems like, and then you can pull up this article.
It's better than gin brain. Yeah. Come on, you know, I just gotta. In the total scheme of things,
I will say, like, I like the grace that happened post COVID when you were able to be like, oh, sorry, like brain fog, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's not nice to experience brain fog, no. But it is nice to have an excuse that people are like, oh, okay. Yeah. I'll give you a little grace about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's what President Biden should have used. Brain fog.
Anyway, I'll use that as a reason to consider whether or not I'm going to have children, is if I need the excuse to be a little forgetful.
Hey, I think we mentioned this on the show last week, but there was a tape that came to the fore this last week that said that President Nixon, a little over 50 years ago, in a conversation he had with his minions in the White House, had even though he had a public policy of being very firmly anti-marijuana, privately did not think it was that dangerous and expressed this view on more than one occasion. What I was amused by, and I knew this would happen almost instantly, there are tons of Nixon smoking weed memes out there now. And I sent one to Mel. We usually exchange little images and jokes and stuff during the week, and I sent one to Mel because I knew there would be one. I knew there would be one. Nixon token up. And sure enough, there's a few.
You should get that printed up largely for the studio.
I think that would be a perfect Mel and Floyd t-shirt if we wanted to have like individualized premiums that we gave out during pledge drives.
Hey, did you know the Wisconsin DNR will pay you for bushels of red pine cones?
Really?
Yeah. So it's part of their reforesting project. They need people to collect red pine cones because they don't really have enough staff to do it.
Yeah.
And they pay
so they're incentivizing it.
Yeah. They pay $150 per bushel, which I don't know what a bushel is, but seems like a pretty good rate.
It's 4 pecs.
Cleared it all up for me.
I love you, a bushel and a peck. Do you know that song? This is the thing about growing up in Kentucky, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. A bushel and a peck and a hug around the neck. That's the song. I got tears in my ears from standing on my head crying since you've been gone.
By Doris Day.
Oh, you're gonna play it?
I'm gonna play it.
Yeah, let's do it. I didn't realize Doris Day sang it.
I got to make sure there's no ads.
Oh, that's going to be. Also make sure they're not like doing a brain scan over you.
It looks like we can't play it because we have an ad blocker on and YouTube says it's a violation of YouTube's terms and services.
Oh, we have an ad blocker on. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for us.
Good for us. Anyway, so you just have to rely on the what you just said. Yeah.
Well, of course, I heard it with a country, you know, I have a little, you know, I love you, bushel and a peck, and a hug around the neck. My favorite country song when I was a kid was one my mother taught me was, I was looking back to see if you were looking back to see if I was looking back to see if you were looking back at me.
That's a really good one.
Yeah, I know. When I was about 10, I thought that was the greatest song ever written. It's the whole reflexivity of it just made it hysterically funny. Let's see. Oh, by the way, and one more abortion rights related story. A new study published last week found an increase in the use of tubal sterilization, in which women have their fallopian tubes tied or removed to permanently prevent pregnancy. One of my sisters did this. But what's interesting is it's increased in the 6 months after the 2022 Supreme Court decision that overturned Roe v. Wade. So all of these white nationalists are thinking, we need more white babies or whatever they're thinking that motivates them for this craziness. People are outsmarting them, apparently. It's basically, it was most pronounced in states, and here's the other shoe dropping. In those states that effectively ban abortion, sterilizations rose 39% by December of 2022. The study suggests that the Dobbs decision affected not just abortion access, but, and this is from a associate professor of reproductive sciences at Columbia, it also is affecting the decisions that women are making about contraception as well. This is a paper published in the Journal of the American Medical Association.
You think that's next? Do you think tube tying and contraceptions is what's going to be next on the cutting room floor? People are going to attack.
It's an evolutionary struggle. I mean, it's just kind of like, you know, you do this, I got to, you know, point counterpoint.
Yeah.
Maybe. That's a very good, I didn't even thought of that, Ruby. That's an excellent point. It's an excellent point.
Well, yeah, I mean, you said it's like, you know, maybe less babies are being born, which goes against the point of why people maybe wanted, or maybe that why people want abortion illegal.
Yeah.
But it's also, it's like fundamentally about controlling people's
rights
to their bodies.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And this feels one of those things. That maybe you have to get like a real... in parentheses, or in quotations.
I had a friend, Patricia, many years ago, who was really good and very interesting historian and archivist. And she had a collection, and this is going to sound bizarre, everybody, and you just got to know where she's coming from here. She had a collection of little medals that the Nazis gave out for motherhood. They would give you these little iron crosses that were on these very feminine little things you could put around your neck. And if you had like 12 kids, you got a little iron cross. You know, for Mutterheit, you know, for motherhood. I mean, duh. Are we surprised? No, we're not surprised. Of course not. So that's, she thought that was there was something like morbidly fascinating for her about things like that. And of course, here we are today, morbidly fascinated.
A totally left field story. There was a cat that was lost in Yellowstone. I guess a family was on vacation to Yellowstone. They're originally from California, and it got spooked and ran into a wooded area, and they had to leave without it. 2 months later, it was found in California. It traveled 900 miles until someone scanned its microchip and contacted the owners.
Wow.
2 months and 900 miles.
Wow.
I think it stole a car. or hopped on a train, something like that, you know?
Hot wired a car. Yeah. That's what Scamp would do.
The cat's name was Rainbow. Spelled R-A-Y-N-E space B-E-A-U. Rainbow. Made it all the way home.
Excellent. Good for irregularly
Rainbow.
Spelled Rainbow. Oh, dear Lord. Hey, here's something to think about. You know, have you ever seen a scorpion? You must have seen scorpions.
I've seen a scorpion. Yeah, they're horrible.
Have you ever been stung by one?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, we had a friend who was stung by one time. It was in his backpack. We were coming back from Arizona, and it just kind of popped out, and we got the specimen right away because companion just kind of like stomped on it. You know? Stomp that critter flat. You know, you can stomp them flat, but you know, 400 million years ago, they were a lot bigger, it turns out. They were effectively as big as sharks back in the day. And they were called sea scorpions. And they were able to, you know, cross oceans and do all sorts of things that we don't normally think that arthropods could do. But they did. They had huge claws, big old beefy exoskeleton, strong pair of legs, or set of legs, rather, for swimming. And some of the bigger sea scorpions, they kind of ruled the seas. That was their deal. They were large and in charge. But apparently, there for some strange reason, the fossil records of these critters, called Eurypterids, it peaked around the Silurian period. You remember the Silurian period? That was about 444 million years ago.
I was there.
And then they started to die out after that. Nobody's quite exactly sure why. And today we just have these little guys. That's the fallen from glory as a result, you know, but I'm happy with it.
Yeah, that sounds horrifying. There's plenty of reasons not to go into the ocean. And that would have been
sea scorpions.
Yeah, sea scorpions seems like a big one. No to me.
Yep.
A big no. Hey, the B-Cycle, the Wisconsin, which is owned by Wisconsin-based Trek, is being sold to a national company called the Bicycle Transit System, which will become the largest docked bike share provider in the U.S. after this acquisition of B-Cycle. So,
wow.
A new owner.
Very nice.
I like the B-Cycles. I like to ride around on them.
Yeah.
I don't have to take care of a bike, and they're electric, and I go a little faster.
I have a mountain bike that I haven't ridden, have not ridden in ages. It's just sitting there doing nothing,
resting.
Kind of resting. Of course, with me, a mountain bike. When I bought it, I said, "Could you put some fenders on it?" And the guy's like, "Okay." I said, "Could you put a bell on it?" And he's like, "All right." He said, "Would you like a little pink basket on the front too?"
Yes, please.
I was like, "How did you know?" Put daisies on it. I love it when you like work with people in that kind of like, you know, retail environment, mm-hmm. and they're funny too. You know, like they're funny back. I just like, loved it. But at any rate, hey, there was a new study that showed that 10,000 feet up, scientists still found hundreds of microbes. Oh my gosh! they did a on just Monday of this last week. The researchers reported that on flights over Japan at altitudes as high as 10,000 feet, they were able to catch many hundreds, in fact, of different types of bacteria and fungi. And the team estimated that the microbes had flown over 1,200 miles when they had been captured. So that cat thinks it's getting around.
Yeah.
According to Xavier Rodo, who is a computational ecologist, I didn't even know there was such a thing, at the Barcelona Institute for Global Health, he said a third of the bacteria and slightly more of the fungi can be considered potential human pathogens.
Ooh, yuck.
So there's a bunch of stuff, and it's all high-altitude microbes. And basically, it can kind of filter out into the ground, makes the whole idea of like catching snowflakes on your tongue sound a little less appetizing. The idea for the flights originated from Dr. Rodo's research. There's a mysterious condition known as Kawasaki disease, and it causes fevers, rashes, and sometimes deadly heart attacks. And they've often wondered where it came from. Well, apparently,
the sky.
It comes from the sky. Yeah. So, umbrellas in all weather. That's my new rule.
I've been putting off purchasing my hazmat suit, but this is the time.
I think the time has come. Time has come, Ruby.
How do you feel about Target? Are you a Target shopper? Are you like one of those people who gets really excited about going to Target?
I don't get excited. I bought some things there, lamps and pillows and things like that. Yeah.
Well, an 8-year-old Ohio girl took her family's SUV on a solo trip to Target.
This does not sound like it ended well.
Fine. Apparently, the only thing she hit was a mailbox, and she made it to Target and was inside the store shopping. How
old was she again?
8. Target folks, they start young, apparently. You know?
Yeah.
She really wanted to get the new Stanley or whatever kids are buying these days.
I just have this image of her with her nose just peeking up over the steering wheel, barely, you know. Well, that's one thing about kids. I mean, I have a baby sister who's like 12 years younger than me, and I remember she wanted to do everything the adults did.
Yeah.
You know, many people say that's, non-Western cultures, you often have the kids follow you around and they learn everything by just watching you and doing things that you do. So she's probably watched mom do that an awful lot, would be my guess.
She's like, it's time for some retail therapy. I'm headed to Target.
Exactly. Things are getting a little difficult at home. Oh, let's see if I got any.
Got a final story for us?
Well, let's talk about marmosets.
We love marmosets.
They're a little South American monkey. And like many little South American monkeys, they use an array of chirps and whistles and trills and so on to defend their territory, you know, say they've found some food, warn of danger, whatever. But apparently there's a little name for each marmoset. They have these little whistle-like calls to communicate to one another. But when they do this and they are not within eyesight of each other, they kind of let each other know who the author of it is. And so these scientists This was someone at Colorado State University did an extensive study and found out that there are actually kind of signature marmoset names that they add to their communications with one another when they can't see each other.
That's cute.
It is adorable.
It's like, this is Paul.
Exactly.
Hey, Paul, it's Macy. That's cute. I like it.
Well.
And a hug around the neck, a bush around the neck, and a barrel and
that boy's from Ohio. He's heard this song. He knows it. A bush, a land, a peck. Thank you, Jaguar. All right, buddy. High five. Yeah, all right.
It's even creepier than Rockabye Baby.
Well. Buck her up and kiss Grandma. No tongue, Grandma.
Pat just walked off the street. Gave us $50.
Whoa! We just Excellent. Got a online or in person physical off the street donation in cash. Love right. that.
Very nice.
We gotta go. We gotta declare the weekend. The weekend, Pants. It was nice to see you. Nice to hang out.
Great to see you.
Yeah, I like hanging out with you on air.
Yeah, me too.
All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Mel will be back next week. And thanks
with
for
tales to tell.
Yeah, thanks for all the donations. Thanks for voting for Mel and Floyd as your favorite radio duo. Up next, we have the Real Jaguar because it is your favorite radio station, WORT 89.9 FM, Madison. I want to thank real quick Eric and Michael and Eric and Jonathan and Chris who made donations during the show. Thanks, everyone.
Ask for Friday, September 20th. The YMCA of Dane.
If you name your $4 billion food conglomerate the Wonderful Company, you probably should strive extra hard not to let it become the Horrible Company. This outfit spends a fortune painting itself as an environmental